Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my amazing pleasure to welcome all our many listeners, not only those who tune in to Radio 4 and Radio 7, but also on the World Service and on the Internet. And also it's a huge pleasure to welcome the four exciting, talented, skilled and experienced players who have joined us this week. And sitting on my right, we have that versatile and highly talented and individual comedian, Paul Merton. Beside him, we have the distinctive personality, a man who's achieved so much in many areas of our public life. And also on Just a Minute, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have a man who's a writer, an author, a comedian, an actor, a novelist, a producer, a director. Anyways, it's the multi-talented Stephen Fry. And beside him, there is another very talented comedian and also a very humorous writer. That is Tony Hawkes. And would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, and she is going to run the stopwatch for me and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Drill Hall, which is a venue near Soho in the centre of London. And Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject: my favourite proverb, starting now.
It's interesting I should be given this, because some time ago I was actually asked to research the question of...
Sorry. Yes.
I got all excited. So sorry.
That was hesitation,
it was,
yes.
It was a mess.
And,
yes.
So, Tony, you've got the subject, my favourite proverb, and there are 55 seconds starting now.
I've actually made up my own proverb, which is called, you're never too old to be told off by a park keeper. Because, in fact, that would be true of life. How we go through stopping with our due...
Paul Challenge.
Well, what is he talking about? How do we go through life stopping? It's just picking words at random now. Well, that's throwing a dictionary at the microphone.
That's the nature of building a sentence.
Pick
them at random.
The sentence wasn't going anywhere. So what is within the rules of Just a Minute? Paul, what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
Oh, well, it was deviation from common sense, from English understanding.
All right, I'll give it to you. Benefit of the doubt on this time. But the benefit may come back to you in a minute. I try to balance it. 40 seconds available. My favourite proverb, Paul, starting now.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones is one of those unusual proverbs that doesn't really make a great deal of sense to me, because I don't imagine there are many folks that live in a home.
Stephen Challenge.
That was live, I think, wasn't it?
Yes.
I was concentrating on glass house coming up. I was going to say Crystal Cottage.
Well, you didn't say it in the round, but you've got a laugh saying outside the round. Yes, it is. That. And you're letting the listeners know the way you think in this game,
yes,
which is very interesting, Paul.
Yeah.
30 seconds. 30 seconds, Stephen, with you now on my favourite proverb.
A bird's bush is worth two in your hand, or something similar comes to mind. There's a genuine English proverb, which is, there's many a good cock comes out of a tattered bag. And... that's, you'll find in any dictionary of proverbs, as is, children suck the mother, but when they're grown up, they suck the father. That's a repetition. That is a genuine proverb.
Clement has challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
Word ending in U-C-K.
I have to know, in case you said something else. I quite agree with you, Clement. He did repeat that word, but he couldn't have got the laugh without it. Clement, you have my favourite proverb. You have 11 seconds starting now.
It is a mark of insincerity of purpose to seek an emperor in a low-down tea shop, was Confucius' remark, which I think is a splendid proverb. Better.
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's now equal in the lead with Stephen Fry and Tony Hawkes. Paul Merton's trailing a little. Just to digress for a moment, there's a very amusing little, only amusing moment that ever happened in a programme I once did called Sale of the Century. And I asked, because of what Paul said about glass houses, I asked the question for £1, what should you not do if you live in a glass house? And the woman pressed the buzzer and said, take a bath. If it had been a comedy show, she'd have gotten points, but she didn't. I had to take them away from her. Tony, would you take the next round? How to do well in examinations. 60 seconds, and as usual, starting now.
Don't pay any attention to examination questions that end with the word discuss, because you're not allowed to. I was sitting there and the invigilator came over and said, "No discussion, Hawks. Answer this question in a written manner." I was most up...
Stephen Challenge.
So I think it was two questions. So answer this question and any question that ends with the word discuss.
Exactly. Mm. Well done. Mm. And you have this subject. You're not many friends at the moment, but you're playing the game extremely skillfully. 43 seconds with you, Stephen. How to do well in examinations, starting now.
In my experience, the way to do well in examinations is to cheat. And by that, I mean to answer the questions properly and to be good at exams, which is so unfair because in life you're not asked to be good at these examinations at all.
Tony Challenge.
A repetition of good.
Oh,
yes, indeed there was. And Tony, you've got the subject back. You have 32 seconds. How to do well in examinations, starting now.
Write all the answers on your arms, like David Beckham has done. I've noticed that recently. They clearly give him the team talk and he jots it down. And why the hell not? Of course, examinations can be very trying testing times for young people. They're under enormous pressure. I feel for them, particularly as the summer comes on and how...
Paul Challenge.
Summer comes on. We visited Somerset briefly, I think. Summer comes on. Yeah.
I think we call that deviation from English, absolutely, as we understand it.
Yeah.
You've got in with 9 seconds to go, Paul, on how to do well in examination, starting now.
During my A-level examination, history in fact, I did cheat. I wrote down all the dates on tiny bits of paper and hid them around my person. So therefore, written...
That must be the first time anybody's got a round of applause for admitting they cheated. Paul Merton, you got the point for Speaking as Whistle Went and other points, and now you're equal Clement Freud. You're 1 point behind Stephen Fry and Tony Hawks. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, porridge. Tell us something about porridge in just a minute, starting now.
Porridge is made of oatmeal or Harris Tweed. It rather depends on whether you come from Scotland or not. There are those who add salt, others milk, yet...
Paul Challenge.
I was pacing myself.
So, I knew something was distracting you. I think deviation. I don't think porridge is made out of Harris Tweed.
All right. It is not made out of Harris Tweed.
No.
We all know that. So,
no.
Deviation. And 47 seconds, porridge with you, Paul, starting now.
A marvellous sitcom written by Dick Clement and Ian Lafrenne, starring Ronnie Barker. It first aired, I believe, in about 1975. I think Brian Wilde as Barraclough, the girl.
So, starting again, the flow goes. Stephen, you interrupted. I mean, sorry, you were challenged first.
Yes, well, it was a sort of mixture of
there was a hesitation. You had the subject. 33 seconds, porridge, starting now.
Come along, Fletcher, Brian Wilde used to say. Marvellous character. I enjoyed them all. You know, Fulton MacKay can't improve on that sort of acting in a situation comedy on the BBC, can you? It sort of sets a benchmark.
Clement Troy's challenge.
I'm afraid BBC.
Oh, dear. Oh, I fell into a beginner's trap, didn't I? That's terrible.
You're hardly a beginner at this game now.
I know, I should know better.
It is a beginner's trap.
Book
right.
One, page two, line three. I'm sorry, I remember it's there. BBC, don't say it.
Anyway, BBC is repetition of B. 24 seconds for you, Clement. Porridge starting now.
I rather enjoyed porridge. I thought Ronnie Fraser. What's his name?
Ronnie Barker.
Ronnie
Barker.
Enjoyed it very much if you thought Ronnie Fraser.
You didn't let me finish.
Because Ronnie Fraser is
Ronnie Fraser was not in it.
Ronnie Fraser was never in it.
No, I didn't say he was.
What is your challenge then, Stephen?
Yes, well, I think he may have squirmed out of it, but I could tell from his body language, as could you, that he went, his hand went to his mouth when he said body phrase, and he turned to Paul Merton.
And what you demonstrated there showed that he definitely paused.
Yeah, exactly. So body phrase and a huge pause.
You have 20 seconds on porridge, Stephen, starting now.
The Scots spell it P-O-R-A-G-E, as opposed to two of the third letter, which we do in English with a D added and the letter I as well, which is a different appellation and one which I'm perfectly prepared to accept. I find the stuff disgusting if hot. However, with cool, cold, crisp milk, I adore it.
Paul Challenge.
Deviation, crisp milk. Crisp milk.
When it's very cold, it's got a little thin sheet of ice on it. And it's just crisp.
I think you're trying to wriggle out of it now, Stephen.
It's the milk that has a crease in it. You can iron a really nice...
I think it creates a lovely image. It's a lovely use of words, but within just a minute, I think it's inaccurate. So, Paul, I give you the benefit of the doubt. 2 seconds, porridge, starting now.
My favourite episode of porridge was undoubtedly...
And Paul Merton, again speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained the extra point. He's 1 point ahead of Stephen Fry and two of Clement Freud and Tony Hawkes. And Stephen, your turn to begin. Narcissus! What a lovely subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
A gorgeous boy, a heavenly youth, an ephebe, as the Greeks called them, who was enamoured of the nymph...
Tony Challenge.
I think he did hesitate.
He did hesitate. I'm struggling with it.
And I'd like to say, I don't even need the benefit of the doubt for that one. I'd kind of like to put that benefit of doubt on hold.
Yes, I was going to say exactly the
thank
same thing.
Thank you very much, Vickers. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, get out of jail card.
Exactly, yes.
You have 54 seconds on Narcissus, starting now. And Paul Challenge.
Could I have the benefit of the doubt as well?
When you deserve it, Paul, you will have the benefit of the doubt. You. At the moment, that didn't deserve it. It didn't even get much of a laugh either. So...
Let's not start pointing out who's getting laughs and who isn't.
I'm entitled to be a little acerbic occasionally because I do suffer a great deal at your hands. I set myself up for it most of the time, but I take it in good part. Narcissus, with you, Tony, starting now.
Not so long ago, I passed a mirror in my home and I snatched a little glance and immediately fell in love with myself, much like Narcissus Dud. And Dud. Dud.
I don't think Narcissus Dud makes any sense.
No. I'm doing all right, but just not making any sense. I'm not repeating it.
The pressure's on, and the words get confused sometimes, and that's happened to Tony. Stephen got in first, 42 seconds. Narcissus Stephen, starting now.
So in love with his own image reflected in a pool was he that eventually he didn't eat or do anything else except stare at this beautiful boy looking back through the water.
Paul Challenge.
I think we've had beautiful
you
before.
Did when you talked about the beautiful image and the beautiful person.
You're right. It was in an earlier tranche, but that carries over.
It carries over. Yes. Okay. You can take many tranches as you like in one round.
Thank you, dear.
They all count against you. 35 seconds, Narcissus, with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, I don't really know much more about Narcissus than what we've already been told, but perhaps I can illuminate by making some stuff up. Narcissus worked as an ironmonger's assistant in Lewisham from 1926 through to...
Tony Challenge.
He's making that up.
I shouldn't have said that bit, should I?
No. But on the other hand, Tony, there's nothing in the rules which says that as long as you talk without hesitation...
Hang on, I've got the rules here.
No, he didn't hesitate, he didn't repeat himself.
Do we really want to listen to him making more stuff up about... Yes, we do. Yes.
He can make up what he wants, providing he doesn't break the three rules of just a minute. 25 seconds with you, Paul. Narcissus, starting now.
Narcissus was a golden youth. He would walk through the forest and the gulls and the starlings would come down and they would sing...
Clement Challenge.
Is he still making it up?
At the moment, I just don't know. I might end up saying something that's true, but at the moment, I don't know.
Yes.
The destination is, up for grabs.
There weren't many starlings in Greece at that time, actually. No.
What about the 46 starlings of Thebes?
Paul, you still have the subject. You were interrupted, so you get a point as well. Narcissus, still with you, starting now.
Once he'd done his paper round, he was straight down to the pond, looking at his reflection and reflecting to himself, I am the most beautiful...
Stephen Challenge.
He's so beautiful as well.
I have.
Yes, yeah. He has. Yeah. He's so beautiful as well. Yeah. Yes. Difficult when you're talking about Narcissus. Anyway, 11 seconds. Back with you, Stephen. Narcissus, starting now.
So the gods took pity on the lad and turned him into the purple-scented daffodil relation that we also call Narcissus. This act of metamorphosis, which has been celebrated by many painters, including, of course, Salvador Dali, with a very...
So Stephen Fry, speaking as Whistlewind again, has moved forward. He's still 1 point behind Paul Mertner, leader. Then it's Clement Freud and Tony Hawkes in that order. Tony, your turn to begin. And the subject, and there's no benefit of doubt in this, it is your subject, it is what I miss about the 70s. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The Bay City Rollers. Shang-a-lang, they don't write lyrics like that anymore. What a marvellous decade it was. Penny collars, tank tops, flared trousers were still in hang...
Paul Challenge.
Did you say penny collars?
Yes, that's right.
What's a penny collar?
It was a sort of little loopy collar that obviously you didn't have at your school.
No.
But, they were those sort of loopy ones.
Absolutely, he's right. You don't need the benefit of the doubt on it.
Thank you very much. Still got that benefit up my sleeve.
And you have 47 seconds to continue on what I miss about the 70s, starting now.
And indeed my childhood, because youthful though I look to you tonight, studio audience, I have moved on from that section of my life. And in the 70s I was enjoying it to the full, skipping about the place, maybe, whatever I felt like doing. You can tell I'm winging it a bit now, but it's still making sense, so they can't get in. And also, I've got the benefit of the doubt up my sleeve, which I haven't used yet. I don't know whether I pointed that out. Anyway, the 70s.
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
I agree, he's deviating from what I miss about the 70s, talking about deviation and the benefit of the doubt. Yes. So, Clement, you've gone in with 19 seconds on what I miss about the 70s, starting now.
What I miss about the 70s is the youthfulness of that decade. When I was only 79, I had such a terrific time. I used to play cricket, run, pole vault. I think perhaps more than any other pastime, that running along a better...
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's still in third place, but he's catching up on Stephen Fry and Paul Mertner in that order. And Clement, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is the person who should play me in a movie. I haven't thought about that. And if you'd like to go on the subject, starting now.
Do you know, to have 60 seconds in which to describe the person who should play me in a movie is exceeding it. The answer is Zoe Wanamaker.
Well, you rightly stopped, and because... You didn't ride the laugh, you decided to enjoy it, and Tony was the first to challenge.
Want
to
make a bet? No, I think he definitely hesitated.
He definitely hesitated.
I mean, it was a huge laugh, but he did look like, once again, the sleeping bag was coming out, and he backed up.
No, he has not hesitated. He stopped. He rested on his laurels. And you've got in with 47 seconds on the person who should play me in a movie, starting now.
This is rather an alarming subject for me to talk on, because there is talk of making...
Yes, Stephen?
What? What is it? Why? Why do I get picked on like this?
He said talk twice.
Yes,
I know he did.
Yes, but I get booed by the audience for
talking?
It.
Talking?
No, he said talk twice.
He said talk twice.
No, I did say talk twice, I think.
Two talks. Okay. Right, 43 seconds. The person who should play me in a movie, Stephen, starting now.
Well, obviously, given the audience's attitude towards me, it should be someone from Satan's Inner Ring, a little microbe from hell. Given that I'm such a villainous person, I'd always imagined it should be Brad Pitt, but I'm going to have to re-examine the whole issue. There are various actors I wouldn't mind representing me. I suppose, naturally, I would like them to be beautiful and slim in exactly the way that I am not, because that's human nature, really, isn't it? We wish to be seen as the very thing that we are the opposite of. But obviously, as I say, someone who should be remarkably clear-headed and wise and interrupting occasionally when other people are saying things that are perhaps repetitive or even deviatory or...
Paul Challen.
Sorry, I'm probably completely wrong here, but is there such a word as deviatory?
Deviatory?
It's a kind of, you feel that given the tools we have in the English language, you could build it and it makes
That's
sense.
That's right, it made yeah. sense. And if you kept going and nobody challenged you, you'd have got away with it. But I'm not going to let you get away with it.
OK, fair enough.
Because
Right.
You've got him with 7 seconds to go, Paul, on the person who should play me in a movie starting now.
Bagpuss. I can't really see further than that. Sit in the window, nice pink face, bit of whiskers. That would be my life story encapsulated.
I think we should have all four of them in the movie, all being played by the people they suggested. I think it'd be lovely. I think we're moving into the last round, which is rather sad because...
Tragedy.
Let me give you the score as we go into the final round. Well, Paul Merton and Stephen Fry are equal in the lead, followed closely by Clement Freud, and only 2 points behind him is Tony Hawkes, who has still got the benefit of the round coming up for him. And Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is... The person I should like to play in a movie. That is the subject, the person I should like to play in a movie. 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm not really sure I know what sort of person I should like to play in a movie. I suppose some kind of comic relief, best friend...
Tony Challenge.
I think he said suppose twice.
He did say suppose
twice.
Did
I?
Yeah. Yes, you did indeed. And Tony, you've got 55 seconds.
In 5 seconds, I said suppose twice.
You said I suppose, I'm not really sure, and then you said I suppose again. Hence the repetition.
No, he didn't.
Democracy in action.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. It's got nothing to do with you. Tony, 55 seconds. The person I should like to play in a movie starting now.
Undoubtedly, the person I should like to play in a movie is me. And this may not happen because, tragically, there's talk of making Round Island with a fridge into a movie.
Sorry.
Stephen Challenge.
It did seem a little, hesitatory.
I felt guilty about mentioning my own product.
No, it was wonderful.
I was about to say that he was trying to plug his book and the result is he hesitated.
Yeah,
and
plug
you've
his fridge.
Got him, Stephen.
Will the fridge be recast as a dishwasher?
No, I mean, this is the truth. Tragically, they are talking about it, and I thought, well, it might be the one chance I'd get to star in a film, because it's supposed to be me, but I think I'm too tall. So it's not
a bonus point for that.
You,
then.
Mate.
All right. Stephen, you got in, you have 44 seconds. The person I should like to play in a movie starting now.
If there were a life story of Brad Pitt, I've no doubt I would be cast in that role because our resemblance is just about as uncanny as you can get without causing people to go into the Twilight Zone theme tune.
Tony Challenge.
I think it was a hesitation.
Between Twilight and Zone, yes.
Twilight and Zone. Yes.
34 seconds, Tony, you're moving up rapidly. The person I should like to play in a movie starting now.
I would like to play Florence Nightingale. In the Crimea, helping those helpless little soldiers sitting in their beds, wounded, I could move about the hospital ward with an elegance that would surprise many viewers.
Poor Dallas.
No, you couldn't. Deviation. I don't think he could work with an elegance that would surprise many viewers.
I'm afraid I have to agree with you. Yeah. I can't see
that. The point is, it would surprise you.
You
don't think he could, and he's saying yes. On the face of it, you'd think I'm someone who couldn't be elegant, I would surprise you.
It would
surprise you.
Thank you very much.
By definition.
Stephen, it would surprise me if he achieved it, but I don't think he can achieve it.
But that's why it would be a surprise. If you expected it, it wouldn't surprise you.
If we're going to have a talk on logic, it isn't.
But we've seen him. We've seen Tony walking, haven't we, Nick?
We've
never seen him. You've never seen him dolled up as Francis, as Florence Nightingale.
I beg to differ. Thank you very much.
Show him, girl. Show him.
I don't want to get involved here particularly because it's all getting a bit out of hand. But Stephen's right. He is. He's got a point.
Stephen is wrong logically because...
He's never wrong logically.
No. You said that you might be surprised. We would not be surprised.
We'd be amazed.
We'd be amazed.
Well, that's not the difference of logic. That's a difference of intensity.
Absolutely. All right, I tell you what. I will give you the... Shall I give you your best?
Can I have my best?
I will give you now your benefit of the doubt in this last round. You keep the subject, another point, 18 seconds, the person I should play in a movie, starting now.
Amazed they would be to see my hair brushed back behind...
Paul Challenge.
Why would anybody be amazed to see your hair brushed back? dear point of view. I saw somebody on television with their hair brushed back. Is it possible to get a copy for my family?
Excuse me. Excuse me. I will hand this over to my...
No, no. Stephen.
No.
Stephen, you stay out of this. We don't like your logic. It's not accurate. You've lost it. Paul's got it. I agree with his. I agree with Paul's logic. I agree with Paul's logic. 14 seconds, Paul. The person I should play in a movie starting now.
I've always been fascinated by the life of Charlie Chaplin. Although I'm too tall, I would like to think I could essay a portrait of that marvellous silent screen clown. He had the most extraordinary life, being born in Bermondsey in the early 18s, whatever, and then...
And Stephen Chaplin.
Nothing extraordinary about being born in Bermondsey. Hundreds of thousands of people were born in Bermondsey in the 19th century.
I think the rest of the sentence ending up as one of the richest men in Hollywood was how I was going to finish the sentence. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, so you didn't allow
to
finish.
No, I know, I was only teasing.
And it's not extraordinary that he should have been born in Bourbon. Exactly.
I know we're not allowed to go back, but you don't know how amazing this hairstyle is going to be.
Hair brushed back with a live fox
pin
to it, you were about to say.
Exactly.
Listen, have you two, Steve and Tony, you're sitting beside each other, you decided to gang up and work as a team
it's
in order
a bit
to
of a coup
work
going on.
Yes, yeah. In order to take over the show and get points for each other. Right, mistake. Paul, you have 1 second left. Oh, it's hardly fair on the others, is it? The person I should play in a movie starting now.
Marilyn Monroe!
Well, Paul Merton, with his flamboyant Marilyn Monroe, brought that particular round and this particular edition of Just a Minute to a flamboyant finish, and how exciting it's been. And I think more humour's been generated in this particular edition than has been plenty for a very long time. And it's been a very close situation. Clement Freud came in a very strong fourth position. He deserves a round of applause. He did extremely well. Happens to finish fourth because just a few points didn't get ahead of him. And Tony Hawks, with his benefit of the doubt, even with that, he finished in third position. And but he did very well, and it was a very, very powerful third position. Stephen Fry was in an excellent second position. Excellent. It was amazing. And but just out ahead, 2 points ahead of Stephen, was Paul Merton. So we say you are the strongest one in points and numbers. Let's say you're the winner this week, Paul Merton. It only remains for me to say thank you to our 4 delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. Also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me run the stopwatch, as we call it, blow her whistle so elegantly. We also thank our producer, director, that is Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this delightful game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience in the Drill Hall, cheering us on our way, having a lovely time. From our audience here in London and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our team, thank you. Tune in the next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute.